Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Pep Talks. As you may have noticed, right now, there is no Eddie Pepitone here today.
There's no Pep.
This is the first time.
You've been had.
And I'd like to welcome our guest who's going to help me get through an hour, the great Mark Brazil. Here he is, one of the finest comedy writers from Buffalo, New York, in the history of the United States of America. Mark, how are you today?
I'm good. Steve asked many people to do this, and they all said no, and I'm proud to be here.
I emailed people who I don't know. I just sent them emails. I think it went to their spam. But Mark, I begged him for a week, and I told him, finally he said, if you stop texting me and calling me, I will agree to do your podcast.
Listen, you can't tell if I've blocked you on your phone, can you?
I can.
Oh.
I can tell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boy, I bet you're missing Eddie right about now.
Yeah, sorry, folks.
We're
trying to fill the silence with sound for an hour in honor of Eddie Pepitone, who's in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Kansas.
Which is
Over the border.
Yeah.
Ike warned us about the military-industrial complex, and we didn't listen, and that's exactly why we can't have nice things. Anyway.
One of the major reasons, definitely. One of the major reasons.
Yes, the MIC is destroying America. Anyway, you know, if you're going to get hot dogs, splurge and get the boneless ones. They're so much easier to cook and eat.
Boneless hot dogs. That's going to be one of our sponsors soon. Boneless hot dogs.
Can you say
Mark
Oscar
Brazil's.
Meyer? Can I say Oscar Meyer?
You can say that, yeah.
If I say something 5 or 10 times, like Marlboro, will they give me like free products or?
No, they'll take the free advertising.
Oh, okay.
Marlboro.
It is redneck poetry when you say Marlboro.
Yeah. I have cowboy boots on.
Yeah.
Look, the wheels have come off already. I don't know. It's only like 4 or 5 minutes in, Steve.
You're doing fine, dude. You're fine. Relax.
I miss Eddie.
We all miss Eddie.
Can he call in? Is he so busy he can't?
We discussed that. He said it's a travel day. Today's a travel day.
Oh, okay.
So it's impossible for him. Plus,
and he also gets time and a half on a travel day. That's the artist rules.
Okay. Well, I just don't want to bother him on a travel day. I texted him a few times about some other things. I didn't hear back, so I figure, you know, just let him be.
He's busy.
He needs rest. You know what I mean? He needs a certain amount of chill time.
Here, I'm going to read this for Emma. Don't listen, Emma. Millennials are already pretty mad about the environment, so please don't mention all the sex Gen X had. Just don't bring it up. It's just going to upset them. Shh.
Gen X didn't have it. What are you talking about? It was
Boomers
your generation who had
here.
Sex. I'm a Gen Xer.
Come
we never got laid.
As you are.
We were the AIDS generation.
What do you think he's saying when he says,
we
come
were
as
the
you are?
AIDS
come as you. I was the AIDS. 80s were the. No.
Hey. You were before the 80s, dude. You're 70s adolescent. I was a fucking teenager in the mid early 90s when girls knew they could die.
We knew we could die too in 85.
Not really.
Oh, dude.
Not like in 92.
I actually had a friend who moved to New York in the early 80s, and he died of it before 84. So.
But I think people were ignoring AIDS until Magic Johnson came out.
Did you know you can't have sex with a sheep in Kentucky anymore?
Because of Mitch McConnell?
Probably. Well, that's sex with a turtle. You know.
Is that still legal in Kentucky?
Apparently now, if you want to have sex with a sheep, you have to drive him to Arkansas. So. It's just, it adds to the whole.
I got a buddy who looks like Dilbert, and he grew up in the 70s. And he said, we knew every night if we went out, we would get laid. Every night we went out, we knew.
You didn't even have to go out if you're from the South. Yeah, making friends.
Tell us
making
what it was like in Buffalo. You don't care. Tell us what it was like in
Buffalo.
I was in San
Diego.
I lived in the South. By the way,
Buffalo, Rick James is from there. It's sexy as hell. Did you know that?
I performed in Tonawanda pre-9/11. They were
Was Tonawanda hit hard on 9/11?
No, but the redneck white trash weren't quite as mobilized then.
Oh,
until pre-post-9/11 is what I'm saying.
If only we had a bigger military and defense budget to have stopped 9/11.
I know, but that's not what's draining our...
If only someone had read that's all not the reports that said it was coming. If
that's
only.
Not what's draining our economy, Mark. It's the health care and the entitlements to the poor and people who don't want to work. That's what's draining our economy, Mark. Don't give me this military. We need a strong military.
No, you see, here's the thing. Republicans need poor women to keep having unwanted children so we have more fodder for the wars we fight. Anyway, enjoy your yogurt. See, I'm not as good as Eddie is at saying something horrific.
Dude, why are you
horrific?
Why do you
and
keep
then,
ever well, doing stuff?
I'm in his
doing,
chair.
No, I'm in his chair. You're in my chair.
Oh, I'm in your chair. Oh, yeah. Then I don't have
you
to
don't
be
have
good
to do
at all.
Shit. That's exactly
I'll
right.
Be here another
release. Be released. Be released from your burden. Do you feel better?
I do.
Oh, good.
Did you know that Joe Biden offered to let a lot of the women? He's
reading.
Offended.
I just want to tell you, folks, he's reading off of his.
No, I'm not.
But by the way, this
I'm
is
just
what.
Reminding myself. Look, Joe Biden said for a lot of the women that he upset, if they'd like to come and sit on his lap and tell him about it, he would like to start the healing. Start the healing, Joe. I don't hear Emma at all. Does she ever laugh or is. Oh, yeah. When Eddie's here, she laughs uproariously
no.
all the time. Oh.
You don't have to flirt with Emma. She's got a boyfriend.
Dude, she's the same age as my children.
It doesn't You're the stop weirdo. You when we're out in public.
You know, idealists are just cynics who haven't gotten kicked in the nuts enough. You heard me.
Another Facebook
Nobody,
post.
None of these people get to read my Facebook. It's private. This is only
Wait,
for...
I just want to point out, when we're out, this is a treat for you
That's
folks.
Exactly
because
how.
When we're out, he will do this in public what with like me. And it's actually, I find it amusing. I do find
oh,
it amusing.
My bits?
I find it entertaining.
All right, here's what
some
I,
of them,
here's
because
why
some
I'm
of them are
God.
Bad.
Emma, I'm mad at God because, okay, this is not like top shelf, but kale should taste like pizza. What's the big deal? Why didn't he make...
I think you should open with the weak material and build up to the Biden.
No, I like to do it the opposite. They got to like me front and then they'll forgive me for the shitty stuff in the middle.
Oh, this is the middle?
God, I hope so. What time is... Oh, my God.
This is the beginning.
This is awful. By the way, why isn't it just one tooth? If we had just one... The whole thing was just one tooth. You wouldn't have to floss.
I know.
Just, it's a design flaw.
These are
flaw.
Reasons you're upset with
That's
God.
All
Go
I'm
on.
Saying.
What's another one?
Oh.
Is that it? Just two?
No, I got another one. Why can't zits be on your ankle? Not your face. Why your fucking face? Right on the tip of the nose. What's up with that? It's a design flaw. I'm just saying.
You had a. I never had a pimple on the tip of my nose.
Everyone's had a pimple on the tip of their nose.
Not me.
Emma?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called the Rudolph.
I like this, but this is a good tactic going to Emma. Emma, you're going to be part of this. We're going to, in honor of Brody.
You're going to be?
In honor of Brody.
Oh, I'm here. Also, I agree that kale should taste like pizza.
There you go.
I think most vegetables should taste like pizza.
I know. Hey, Emma, I dropped my mom off at the airport. Her flight's Wednesday. You get it? Because
today is Wednesday.
Oh, never mind.
Mark, it's okay. It can only
it's
get better.
It's a Friday night joke. God damn it.
We should work Shabbat into there somehow. Shomer Shabbos. We had a great time bowling, by the way. We got to talk about that. So Mark and Eddie and I and a bunch of other, Rick Overton and Troy Conrad and Trevor Kevelo and Liam, what's Liam's last name?
McEnany.
Liam McEnany. And a bunch of other comedians all went bowling. And it was, by the way, I strongly encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever need to blow off stress, just grab a group of people and go bowling. It's
that was
really,
fun.
It was fun.
Nobody went over the line?
Oh, we crossed the line many times when the things we were
I mean,
saying.
On the lane.
Mark,
in
at
the
end of the first game, the other team, we were teams. We had two lanes, and the team to the right of us was competing with us. They were destroying us. It was like the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, they had some ringers.
They had ringers.
Two
you know?
Guys from Chicago.
Two,
right
yeah,
there.
I'm
Forget
from Chicago, but yeah, I wasn't like them. They played.
Manly.
They had a junior league bowling. My school's never had a bowling team. We didn't afford bowling teams and shit.
Did you have band?
Yeah,
band
we had
camp?
Band. Okay. We didn't have band camp.
Right.
Not yet.
You didn't do bad. I think you beat me the last game.
Yeah, you were tired.
I was tired
you
after
tired.
Throwing so many
17
strikes.
17 strikes.
Oh,
so, Mark, on the final frame of the final game, now, if you throw a strike or a spare, you get to, on the final frame, you get to keep throwing. Mark threw three fucking strikes in a row on the final lane of the first game.
Yeah.
And our team won because of that.
That was pretty epic. I don't think that'll ever happen again. There were six strikes in that game, though. I had three, and then I had three. One, two, three.
Especially considering how Mark throws the ball down the lane.
I don't throw as much as
Mark heaves the fucking ball in the air. A bowling ball, you watch these bowlers, they roll the ball to the pins. Mark just throws the fucking ball, and somehow it goes right straight down.
It's sheer force.
It's incredible.
It goes about halfway down the lane before it actually touches the wood.
How tall are you?
6'2".
6'2". So imagine this guy, 6'2". Heaving a bowling ball in the air. I mean, it's like a carnival draft doing a carnival trick.
6'2", 200 pounds. Here's the thing about fat cops. Don't run from them because they don't want to chase you and they will shoot you. That's why the fatter cops.
You know what? Don't say you can't come on this podcast and get real world advice, people. Do you see that? We bring real motherfuckers in. We don't have trust fund yuppies in here. We get real world people like Mark Brazil who have experience running from cops.
And dog food factory worker.
Yeah.
I was a dishwasher, phone sales in a boiler room.
You sold cars, didn't you?
I sold cars. I was a rodeo clown. Hey, here's what's funny is my brother, who's from, let's not go into it, but he used to live in Kansas, and he would come out here to L.A., and I've lived here for a very long time. And we'd go into restaurants, or Portos, if you will, or Pantera or Panera, depending the heavy metal band or the restaurant place. And the guy at the counter would go, hi, two? And my brother would go, yeah, there's two of us, but he was so afraid that the guy would think we're a gay couple. He would go, there's two of us, we're brothers. Always, every time, we're brothers. And I finally went, yes, we are. We're gay brothers. So he stopped saying it. He finally just said,
what did he? He didn't get another one to go to? He didn't have another?
He didn't have anything.
We're when not I said, together. He didn't say,
brothers.
He could have just said, we're not together.
We're from Utah. We're gay brothers. He finally just, okay, just two.
See, that shit is so great because that's what we grew up around. Like me with my dad. With my dad, I told you.
Oh, right. You would hold his hand.
I will hold his hand in public. And at first, he'll laugh. No, no. Yeah, if it gets really out of hand, he'll punch me.
If you just insist on it, you throw yourself in his hand. You use both hands to hang on to his hand. He has to drag you. And then you start whining and screaming, love me, daddy.
The fucked up thing is I'll take his arm. I'll take his arm and I'll hold his
arm.
When
there's still some lead in the pencil, they hate that. Get the why eye.
Well, he's 75 and he still hates it.
No,
First he'll laugh. It was not a laugh of humor. It's a laugh of I'm going to murder you soon.
I'm
going to
kill you
soon. And then he starts to turn beet red, and then he'll take my hand and he'll squeeze it really hard. And then if I don't let go, he'll swing at me. Then he'll start swinging at me. But isn't it fun to be among people like that? Because it's so easy to upset them. You know, that's one of the things about living among homophobic middle America, which I now living in the boutique area of Hollywood where the men are all just, they make me feel like Marlon Brando. You know?
Well,
which is kind of cool. With Pryor. Absolutely, okay. With Pryor. Which is more manlier than even then.
I want you to read this, and it makes no sense at all.
Okay, so you won't read our ad, but you want me to read your tweet.
All right, I'll read. It's not a tweet. It's like a thing that
I'll read it.
It doesn't
make
sense.
I'm just pointing out you won't read an ad.
But I want you to read it slowly and with gusto.
Will you read it
as though you were John Cleese without the accent.
Will you read
I'll
an
read
ad?
I'll read an ad.
Okay,
sure.
That's a good trade-off.
Yeah,
okay. Michael Jackson. Turns out it was just a massive amount of smoke, but no fire. Just smoke. The most ever in the history of the world. Hot, choking enormous gusts of smoke, yet zero fire. Tons of smoke, don't get me wrong. There was, however, no fire. Normally, where there is smoke, you will find a fire. But in this case, all that smoke indicated no fire.
Michael Jackson's innocent.
Written by Mark Brazil.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was Mark Brazil.
No, but absurd.
Wait, that was Mark Brazil as the defense attorney in his version of Michael Jackson's The Verdict. That was the closing statement.
Hey, you know who wrote that?
My friend.
Your friend.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Sympathy.
He's
for,
good. He's a good writer.
He's a pretty good writer.
You could have had him on the show today.
I don't think he comes east of the 405.
I walked in on my parents having sex, and they completely freaked out.
Really? Did this really happen?
Yeah, it really happened. They freaked out. What? Get out of here. What are you doing? Is that a camera? It was so...
Did they have cameras back in the
60s? No, I had the camera. I was filming them.
Did they have those video cameras back then?
And you know what? That was the 70s.
Dude, you're telling jokes that someone 30 years younger should be telling. Go ahead. I'm going to critique all these that bad.
Look, you know...
The Michael Jackson one was all right.
Have you met Dead Air? Listen,
What we almost just had dead air. You just blew it.
I was gonna, you know.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
See, now he's self-conscious. That's what happened. I ribbed him a little bit.
I have a 2-page thing about the patriarchy if you'd like to hear it, but there isn't a single joke in it.
I think it's too long, 2 pages. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, we have incredible sponsors from our show. Real ads written by our producer, Matt Rat. I just called him Rat. Wow. I need caffeine.
I feel really bad for Eddie that his name's on this.
Matt Rasimoto, our producer, has written some incredible ads. And some of these are actually new sponsors we've never had before. Most of America has forgotten about the deserted wasteland of entertainment where there are no rules and static is king. Static! Speaking of dead air, unless you're a grandparent or a truck driver, you may have forgotten about AM radio. Mark, do you remember AM radio?
Yeah, there was a guy who would say that's the rest of the story.
Who was he? Paul
Harvey. Good day.
So you may have forgotten about AM radio or just brushed it off as an endless parade of conservative talk radio and mariachi music.
Dennis Miller's on AM radio.
That's all I need to know. Well, today's modern AM radio has devolved into so much more than that. Where else can you go to hear multiple Rush Limbaugh complete for the same... What? Let me read that again. Where else can you go to hear multiple Rush Limbaughs compete for the same ad time or a Catholic call-in show that rates its listeners based on the amount of money donated while demonizing Lutherans as the liberal elite? And if you can't reach a full erection without the monotone droning of an elderly Chinese woman reading from the Chairman Mao's little red book, we got that shit locked down 24/7, bitches. That little creaky voice is going to help you paint the walls in your salty baby spray. Did I sexualize an old woman reading the Communist Manifesto? Hell yes, I did, because on AM radio, there are no rules. So bend your ears where the FCC is afraid to tread. AM radio, it's a bizarro world version of the worst parts of the internet being yelled at you over static all day, every day. Thank you, AM radio.
I don't think they're afraid to tread. I don't think they remember it exists.
God, thank God for them.
The FCC has yet to weigh in on Netflix. What's that about?
I don't know.
It's none of their business, is it? Because it's technically not.
But they weigh in on everything else.
Well, they're definitely fucking up the internet access of them.
Right, so why not?
That should be the number one thing. Any politician, their number one job should be to make internet access free and nationwide. So even if you're in the middle of Kalamazoo, you could get free internet.
And Eddie Pepitone.
Because it's like AM radio. It's not a telephone.
Right.
It's AM radio.
So it should be a strong signal.
It should be strong. Privatized.
That would suggest that anyone who runs things gives a shit about us having anything.
Well, yes, that's the
misnomer. That's a major misumption. Yeah. I call it a misumption.
It's a misumption. Well, you're like Norm Crosby, aren't you? You're the object of my defecation. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a little story, Steve.
Please,
you got
Mark,
time for one?
By the way, the reason that this Mr. Brazil is here because of his great stories, I have some questions for him so he can tell us some of his amazing life stories. Yeah. We heard about the dog food factory last time.
Yes, I know. This is about my brother.
Okay.
Who's passed away, so we can talk about him. He was a husky boy. He was a husky boy.
Unlike
which,
you.
By the way, no, I was very thin and bastardy, and he was a husky boy. By the way, every time we went to the mall, and we couldn't find pants for him, the salesman would go, have you been in the Husky section? And I would giggle, and he would chase me under those racks of...
Okay, wait.
You know.
What was the age difference, and how many siblings were between you?
There was four kids.
Right.
I was the baby. I wasn't the youngest. I just cried and shit my pants all the time. Yeah, you heard it.
That was humor.
That's one of my jokes. So I was the baby. Me and my two brothers, there was about 6 or 7 years between us at any given time. So we were Irish triplets, basically. So, but he was much bigger than me until I got into high school. He outweighed me twice as much. So I could only
thank God you could outrun him. Thank God you could
I could outrun him, but I could also use my words to really... I had to be a vicious little fuck.
You were a vicious little fuck.
Yeah. No. So anyway, my dad, we had a dog whose name was Diablo, who really was, just took the it's
devil.
A German Shepherd. It was the devil. It took the biggest shits you'd ever seen. And of course, it was my oldest brother's dog who wouldn't pick up a shit if his life depended on it. So my dad's like, Mark, go in the backyard, get Diablo's shits, pick him up. Pick up Diablo's shits, Mark. That's your special job
this
today.
Was the beginning of Mark's comedy training.
So I'm out back, and I got a bag, and who wants to do this? No one. But I'm doing it, picking up Diablo's shits, and then my husky brother, Barry, comes up, starts making fun of me, ridiculing me for wanting a shit-free backyard, that I was demanded my father, who fought in two wars, demanded there not be dog shit in the backyard, and I was going to make it happen. So he starts making fun of me, and I said, I don't care. Dad's giving me 50 cents a turd.
You just made that shit
up. Just made that shit up. Holy shit. He loved money. He loved money, and he was husky. He would buy snacks and treats.
Twinkies.
So Twinkies, the soda. Got a bag, got a big ass garbage bag. He's running to cut me off to pick up shits. And I'm like, no, stop. You're beating me so bad. He's picking up shits from the neighbor's yard that aren't even Diablo shits. He's going crazy, outrunning me, which is rare because he was husky. But I'm like,
you were letting him.
Yeah, of course I'm phoning it in. Gosh darn it, that shit should be worth a dollar. So
he's got a giant bag of shit.
No more turds left. By the way, my father was hysterical. For as tough as he was, you had to be funny if you fought in two wars. He's always somewhere smoking a cigarette and drinking coffee. Now that the turds are gone, it's my big moment. He runs. He's done. There's no turds left. I'm trying not to die
because
I know what's coming.
You're the Tom Sawyer of Buffalo.
I'm the Tom Sawyer of dog shit.
Totally.
So he runs in, and my father's in the kitchen. He's looking out the back window because he doesn't understand how in God's name this is happening. So I got, and he goes, I'm done. I'm going to show Dad. So my dad's in the kitchen, and I run because I got to see this. It's going to be so good. And I run in, and my dad's like, my dad's smoking a cigarette, drinking some coffee. And Barry runs in. He goes, look, opens a big bag of shit. He's like, there's like $17.50, $18. And my dad goes, what are you talking about, Bear? Now I'm in the back door just biting, my blood spurting from my fist. I'm biting it so hard
because
I got him
to laugh.
And my dad goes, Mark said it's 50 cents a turd. And my dad went, oh shit. And then I had to run because he's going to whoop. If he can catch me and get me on the ground, I'm fucking dead. I'm dead. But he can't catch me. I run.
Well, he's exhausted.
No,
he's been running around already. Shit.
He's got a bag of shit.
He's exhausted from his shit collection.
Oh my God. So my dad, if I could get my dad to laugh, that was the biggest win. Because that was, and he pissed himself that I, and he was the youngest of four too. So I think he had an affinity for me fucking
Did he give you a hug like that.
We never hugged. I hugged him on his deathbed, but he was already dead. That was the only time he'd let me. Thanks. My dad was, he was great. But oh my God, that was like, my brother, if I ever told you the stories of my brother was such a, he just had the worst luck in the world. We used to jump off the cliffs at Lake Erie.
So point, like a quarry, like a quarry, right?
But it's three or four stories in the air, and you got to jump way out. You got to jump way out because it's only, it goes
not,
from about
shallow.
A foot deep
you,
to about 10
get,
feet
you
deep.
You could get paralyzed.
Well, yeah, you could die. So, you know, we're all little street rats. You know, we all weigh 60 pounds. We're running to the end, jumping off. Well,
dude,
my brother,
this doesn't
Husky,
sound like it's going to end well.
Buck 20. Oh,
he can't
no.
jump far.
Well, my friend PJ, who's real short and funny, jump, Barry. Barry's like, I'm not jumping. It's crazy. PJ needled him all day until my brother starts crying because PJ needled him so bad. Everybody's jumping but you, Barry. My brother, Barry, finally decides to jump. You got to run hard, fast, all the way down to the end of the cliff and push yourself out over it. Oh, my God. Oh, God. He runs. He's running.
But he just falls.
We're thinking,
off.
Oh, he's going to make it. He's really going to do it. He's running, gets to the end of the cliff, changes his mind, and then jumps. Oh, shit. We heard the screams way up, three stories up. We're like, all right, we all go running and jump down into the water.
Because you think you're going to have to save
yeah,
his life.
Yeah, we had to get him up that cliff. We had to get him up the side of the cliff. He broke his ankle.
Thank God that's all that
no,
happened.
No, that's all that happened.
This wouldn't be a funny story.
No, it could be a terrible story. So we get him. This is, by the way, this is a perfect example of the place I grew up and what New York and the people are like. We get him. The Miller brothers and I get my brother, pulling him up the cliff, up the side of the cliff. PJ's at the top. Barry's fucking, his legs fucked up. And we get to the top and PJ goes, man, I told you not to jump, Barry. Fucking kill you. It's hysterical. It's hysterical. PJ told him 100 times, you're a pussy, Barry. Why don't you jump? You fucking jump. You're a pussy.
Yeah, we grew up in the same kind of place.
Yeah, I mean, we were brutal to each other.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
But it made you who you are. Like, you got to appreciate
it
now.
No, it's
not at all.
We jumped trains. We used to jump trains, which is the thought of it is like, can you imagine? I'm sure kids do it.
Wasn't there a train robbery? Wasn't there like the last train robbery in your...
Maybe the last train robbery ever. The train, because I thought this, and then I posted it on Facebook, and somebody said, no, that's absolutely true. Because, you know, sometimes you think, well, I smoked a lot of pot. There were a lot of stories. Maybe something happened. Maybe it didn't. That train, it broke down on the trestle. Is it raining?
Oh, you hear that?
Do you hear it?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little, Emma, there's a little foggy.
It's ambiance, Emma.
It's not bad. You know, we can talk through it, but.
So the train broke down. And it's gone. For whatever reason, the one car that they snapped the lock off of is filled with beer. And that was it. We drove
the last train robbery in America.
I didn't do it. Other guys from this. There was a place called The Corner.
Nobody's implicating you in anything.
Limitations.
Did you get some beer?
No, I don't think I did. But
you knew the guys.
Oh, yeah. We knew everybody knew everybody. And I think the guy who did it, his dad turned him in because he tried to pull his car in the garage and it was filled with beer. God damn it, Maddie.
Not a drinker, his dad. That was the one person in Buffalo who wasn't a drinker.
I don't know. I think he was just pissed that he couldn't get his car inside. People used to be weird about everything. People anal retentive about their yard and their car.
Right. Well, that
was
the keeping up with the Joneses at Eisenhower.
Horrible shit.
Yeah. It was a different kind of horrible then. It was a different kind of... But it seems... This is one thing I've been thinking about. It seems more manageable looking back on it, but I remember hating it. I remember hating the people who I grew up around and not hating. I mean, I had friends and stuff who I'm still close with and I look back on it fondly. But in the time when it was happening, and I know I'm a generation younger, but in the time when it was happening, I wanted to get the fuck out of there so bad. I mean, so bad, man.
Well, there had to be something better somewhere else, you know.
Well, and you hadn't experienced any.
You and I, we've talked about this a million times. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's not gender. It's not color. It's not any of those things. It's the 99% versus the 1. can't be divided along those lines. Poverty makes you hate where you grow up.
Dude, we were all the 99%.
Of course.
There was no 1%. The people who were rich had BMWs and Mercedes. Out here, they're the middle. Yeah. Everyone has a me. So it's a different kind of, you know, you couldn't see the wealth that was being, you know what I'm saying?
You can hide it here a little better in the sense that you can have a BMW and a rental and a whatever. And from the surface,
you appear to be making it, right?
You know,
right.
But ultimately, no. You know, and that's what this whole sort of a lot of this town is about. Used to be, anyway. You know.
Well, how's it?
Well, my joke used to be about guys say, "Oh, you got to have money and a beautiful car to get women." Manson's bus didn't have an engine; he had women willing to kill for him. So it's charisma, right. Man.
There's one more other thing I want to make mention of this. Wealth isn't enough to just get women. It's got to be visible. So if you're going
to
be
have
rich,
like the New England Patriots, you've got to own them in order to get a crafty, a handy. Is it a crafty now? Have they changed the name of it from a handy to a crafty?
Tell us how you feel about Big Bob Kraft.
Listen, Rob Gronkowski has retired from football so he can dedicate himself full time to his career
being a moron.
As a moron.
One of the most beloved morons in America.
Kidding? I mean, did you see his stand-up?
I can't even believe that's true. Is that really true?
Of course, Gronkowski did.
So, for those of you who don't, oh, stop!
He's like, hey, how about if I bang your wife?
Stop! Stop!
That's a joke.
Please, he thinks
that's a joke.
Please,
I'll bang your wife.
I think Gronkowski and Charlie Sheen should go on the road together.
How is Charlie?
I don't know.
Have you talked to him?
I haven't talked to him. I think Emilio's doing better, I would imagine. But
I saw Denise at Musso and Frank's, but that's been over for a long time.
That is. Did you talk to her?
I did not.
Do you know her?
I don't know her. But I'll tell you what. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for telling us all something we don't know.
No, Denise Richards. Listen, if you don't know.
No, we do
she's
know.
She's beautiful.
We know. Hey, Mark, will you share with us your story about Robert Altman on the Fox Party bus?
Oh.
Please, because okay. That would be illuminating to sophisticated
and to young
Eddie
writers.
Pepitone, sophisticated audience who want to hear inside shit about show business that'll just
help you understand
how fucking backward this business is. Maybe keep you out. Go ahead.
So I think it's 1999. I'm going on the Fox Party bus.
Because you got your show.
Because I had a show called That 70 Show.
Right.
And so the Fox Party bus is taking some luminaries from the network. This was weird, too.
Luminaries.
I'm not positive.
You were a luminary.
I was a luminary. I thought I was. I was informed later I was not. And I realized later I was not. But I think James Wong was there. I think Vince Gilligan was there, who were on The X-Files.
Right.
I think that Gillian Anderson was there with her child. Scott Wolfe was there from Party of Five, who I had made a terrible video game movie with. Years before, called Double Dragon in Cleveland. We set the river on fire. That's another story. So
they didn't notice in Cleveland.
It was on the front page. River catches fire again.
They were proud.
Movie
in Cleveland.
Asked
they
to
were
go
proud
film in Buffalo. So production company. But I'm on the Fox Party bus, and Peter Roth is there because that's who was the president of Fox at the moment. He had bought That 70 Show, and I see Robert Altman and his wife, and I'm like, holy shit. So there's a booth in the back of the bus, which is where we were going to play poker for hours on the way there and hours on the way back to the World Series. Padres, Yankees. Yankees won. Mariano Rivera closed it down.
It was the beginning of the Jeter era.
Yeah.
Where they won several.
They were very good. So I park myself next to Robert Altman immediately because I'm like nobody's sitting by him and I was shocked. So I just...
Is it possible they didn't know who Altman was?
Yeah, I think they didn't. So
Another illuminating...
Yeah, so I'm asking him about everything, about MASH, about McCabe and Mrs. Miller, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Warren Beatty. Which would never get made today about a brothel proprietor in old San Francisco.
But it was so great and grim. It was such a great, grim movie. Julie Christie.
I know.
You know what?
But that would
She's
be a sexist
very
film today.
Attractive.
Let's point out that
Julie Christie's very attractive.
These are his opinions.
So, also the player, also Shortcuts. It's Robert Altman. So I sit there, and we play poker, and it's fun. And he's telling stories. And I finally can't take it any longer. And I go, hey, Robert Altman, why are you on the Fox Party Bus? Because why is he on the Fox Party right. Bus? And he said, oh, I did a pilot that I directed it, and Gary Trudeau and I wrote it. It's a political pilot. And I'm like, oh, my God, when's it on the air? And he said, oh, they passed.
So,
oh, my God.
Right.
That's when I realized you ain't shit.
Right.
You got nothing. It doesn't matter what you do.
So you said, this is the way Mark illustrated it, some executive got a boner and was able to fuck his wife better because he could go home and say, I turned down Robert Altman today.
Right? I passed is that how on you... Robert Altman.
Right.
Well, I don't know why else, you know, come on. That does, even if it's, you know what, I'm sorry. There should be tenure.
It didn't have anything to do with Murdoch and Fox and Altman
no.
being a lefty
no.
or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. Not at all. Look at The Simpsons.
I know.
That's the most leftist.
It's pretty, I know.
You know, Ivy
I'm just
League,
saying, I'm just wondering.
1% Harvard.
I know. It is, I know.
What would a poor person say?
Counterculture of the ruling class, right? But they
what,
gave you...
In this instance, get a writer's assistant. What would a poor person say?
Bring me some real hip-hop, Drake. Drake, bring me some Public Enemy, Drake. I want to show Basil and...
Listen, Cardi B may have committed some crimes with men, but I cheated at poker with my brothers in the Gamma House.
Oh! You're I don't just know. Multi.
I just, you know, whatever. It used to be...
You don't come up...
You go to Harvard, you're a doctor. You
no,
don't
no,
write little skits.
No, that's...
You don't write the skits.
That's what your assumption was by the people
yeah,
who
30
you,
years ago.
Right.
I stopped learning
we
stuff.
We didn't have people like that around us there.
97, I just thought, I don't want to know anything else. I know enough.
I didn't learn to despise people like that until I moved to here.
You know, I think that the culture stopped in about 2000. I think 9/11 stopped everything. That's why... They're just remaking the muscle cars. They're remaking everything cool, or they're just keeping everything cool. Led Zeppelin is still the number one band in the world.
So what you're saying
Plymouth
is...
Challengers, it's still a Plymouth Challenger. The Ford Mustang, look, it's a GT, it's a Ford Mustang. It looks exactly like the cars with better suspension,
culturally
clearly.
Arrested development.
Yes. We stopped trying. Oh, we've done everything. Let's stop.
We stopped changing, evolving.
We did. Yeah.
Growing, right.
I think we did.
That's pretty profound,
man.
I think you're
more.
Onto something.
I'm not kidding.
And on that note, in the spirit of Eddie Pepitone,
no.
I think it's time for another ad from one of our wonderful sponsors. And I think I'm going to have Mark read this one. Mark, what do you think? You think he can do it?
I'm sure you saved me the best one.
I have no idea because I haven't read these.
Oh.
I got them 3 minutes before he went on the air.
Do I start with the beautiful Jennifer Aniston is starring in this summer's most anxiously awaited Amazon Prime original story, Secret Shopper. Aniston plays Kendall McFitbit, a lusty young online review editor for a famous shopping website who falls in love with Bluetooth Instapot, played by a passable Colin Firth type. Flirtatious adventures begin when Instapot writes a 5-star review of McFitbit's 5-star reviews. And 113 minutes of screen time later, sex happens. It's the most romantic movie possible according to Amazon's artificial intelligence after cross-indexing website search results. Rotten Tomatoes calls Secret Shopper a tour de force. We know Fandango owns us, but we really want Amazon to buy us, so there is no way we will say bad things about this movie. Movie Phone had this to say. Hello, is someone trying to call Movie Phone? If you can hear my voice, please, for the love of God, send help. It's been so long since anyone thought of us. It's so dark here, and we're so alone. We need John McCain to climb through the duct and... All right, I riffed that last part. Alexa... Add Secret Shopper to my watch list.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, it's a real movie. Jeff Goldblum plays Jennifer's father. 100% not 2-hour Mad Lib of search results starring Jennifer Aniston and Colin Firth type. Get cozy. Alexa has pre-ordered a bottle of $4.35 rosé. I would have said box. But hey, just in time for a Secret Shopper, because you will watch it.
Thank you.
That's pretty
whatever
damn
the fuck
funny.
That was.
That's
and
pretty
by the
damn
way,
good.
Give it up. I'm going to read that too because I
no,
heard some things in that. Well, Eddie does that to me. The riffing
you're
was
gonna
great.
Do it.
The
all
riffing
right.
was fine. I love the riffing, huh? But I didn't actually take that in because I was texting. So I want to McFitbit.
That's damn funny.
That is really funny. This is a funny one, Matt. Matt Rasamoto writes our ads, by the way, and Mark Brazil beautifully improvised and riffed on that. That was very well done, sir.
Thank you,
man. The Tom Sawyer of dog shit. Don't forget him. Don't forget him. The beautiful Jennifer Aniston starring in this summer's awaited Secret Shopper.
It should be long awaited.
Long awaited.
You left the word
see,
out.
The writer is editing your work, Matt. Aniston plays Kindle McFitbit, and Firth type plays Bluetooth Instapot. That's what I wanted to read.
I'm ready to start the podcast.
Thank you, Secret Shopper. Thank you, Secret Shopper. We're really excited to be promoting movies nobody will watch, and somehow people are getting paid for. So, Mark, at this point...
That
in
is
the,
true. How are they making money?
We, that's... How
I don't
the, how does the chandelier shop in Beverly Hills stay open?
Well, that's a
who
Coke...
Who the fuck is buying chandelier
I've
shop?
Heard. It's a Coke...
They're just holding it up, the Coke brothers?
No, they're selling Coke out the back door.
Oh, out the back door!
Yeah. No, it's a front.
It's a front. Okay. I like... I buy that more than I can
I don't
buy.
Understand why, when they say, death be not proud, dude's batting 1,000. I'd be thrilled with those kind of results. Look, they're not all good, Steve.
Give us some more.
No,
we got to fill an hour.
I'll talk about
Emma. How are we doing? She was falling asleep back there. I think
we're at 42 minutes.
Look at that, 42 minutes.
I'm not sleeping.
Wait a second.
Thank you,
Emma.
How you doing?
What are
you doing? Yeah, how do you think we're doing?
I think you guys are killing it. We got some good stories, good anecdotes.
Okay,
having a good time.
I have another terrible story about when I was actually the worst. Anyways. I was a waiter at the Holiday Inn in upstate New York, right off the 20. Emma, this is so terrible. And I'm like 18 years old. And let's be honest, at 18, oh boy, I had just gobs of testosterone. And
like a permanent hard-on.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to wear one of those.
Did you have to call into work?
Waiter
to,
things.
Did you call into work to say,
by the way,
I can't
this,
come
here's
in?
The funny thing. The first time you learn how to masturbate, you might as well be Shazam or
I
Superman.
I hope it was before 18.
It was before 18. But I mean, it's really, honestly, it's the greatest moment of your life
Shazam.
Up until that moment. Here, right. This is really fantastic. And the first time I learned how to do it, I'm like, holy cow. This is my thing, just like Steve Martin. I found my thing in The Jerk. And I'm leaning out of the shower going, oh my God. I remember there's Vaseline, and I'm reaching
you
out
fell.
Of the shower for the cabinet. Open the cabinet. My mother walks in, and here's what she said: I didn't see anything. She saw everything, and I'm like, oh my God, that's embarrassing. And I masturbated only like 3 or 4 more times. But then you masturbate at the point you hurt yourself, and then you're like, I hurt myself. I'm hurt real bad. And
you're
think,
sore.
I got to go to the hospital.
What hospital?
And then you think, nurses.
You went to the hospital?
One more time.
Whoa, whoa,
just
whoa,
one more
whoa,
time.
Whoa. You went to the hospital?
No, I didn't go to the hospital. When I thought of nurses, I did it again, and then I was like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Men don't go to the hospital.
No, we
Steve.
Recover from.
It'll bounce
now,
back.
I will
so
say
I'm at
this.
The Holiday Inn. Listen,
yeah, yeah.
I'm very horny.
Before the Holiday Inn, I will say
very
this.
Very horny.
There was a period from between 15 and 23 where I would just call into work.
So you could say I'm on masturbating?
I couldn't. I'd be masturbating all day, 7, 8 times. And I couldn't function. Mentally, I couldn't function after.
You were all blocked up with that poison.
No, I was like a heroin addict sinking into a couch.
It's good.
Yeah. So go on with
sex
the Holiday.
Sex is good.
We're going, it wasn't
so
sex.
So I'm at a Holiday Inn. Well, it was sex, really. It's
with,
not,
you're with just
with
you.
With just you. Right. So I'm at the Holiday Inn. And there is just the, Emma, I'm going to apologize up front for this story. There's the most beautiful woman, plus I'm 18, she's probably 35, and her husband's probably 60, and he's a professor at the university.
How do you know that?
Visually, I assess the situation.
You're an intuitive kid.
She was a student, he married her. She's hitting on me relentlessly all through dinner.
You were a pretty kid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've seen the
I
pictures.
Was beautiful.
You looked
if
like
anybody had a reason to masturbate, it was me.
You looked like he looked like Billy Zane in Dead Calm.
Yes, that's or Billy Worth in The Lost Boys. A Billy. Anyways, Google Billy Worth, Emma. So when I was, and I'm waiting on him, and the woman is really, and by the way, she's got red hair, red hair, and bright green eyes. She's very attractive. And her husband is smugly laughing at all her jokes. And he had a pipe. He used to be able to smoke indoors when I was a child. And he finds her just a pip. So she's flirting and flirting and flirting. And I'm like, what's going on?
They want to have a...
It's going to be a three-way, but just me with her, because I don't want him to do anything with the pipe or anything when I'm over there. I don't know what's happening. But I'm intrigued, and she's giving me all these signals,
right?
Like the third base coach,
turn it
home,
and go.
Get it home.
So
they asked me to come have dinner at their house. I'm 18. What could that possibly mean? Except, you know, what else could it mean? I accept because, oh my God, she was beautiful. Oh boy, so I go to the house. It's a lovely dinner. Same thing.
Flirting.
Foot under the table.
Really?
Touching my hand.
Really?
Funny, funny. Flirty, flirty.
And he's Rick amused. Overton. Rick Overton's over
he's
there.
He's amused. Yeah. Something, you know, big glasses, gray hair, pipe. He's amused. Sort of probably look like me now. So he's going along with all this. And I'm like, this is, now it's weird. And then I'm thinking, holy shit, John Wayne Gacy, they might want to kill me. Who knows I'm even here?
Oh, you had grown man doubts.
I did have grown man doubts. And I thought, because you could take me out in a second if I'm preoccupied. He could stab
me. That goes for any of us, ladies
any
and
of
gentlemen.
Us. You're in the middle
any
of that.
Any man
done.
In a, with the blood rushing in the wrong place. Go ahead.
So she's, carry on, Mark. She's gorgeous. And I'm like, something's going to happen. I don't know if anything's going to happen because I'm not going to let a lot of stuff happen. I would have let it happen. Anyway. So,
did the pipe go in your ass, Mark? Can we fast forward to the pipe?
I fucking wish. I wish that pipe had gone up my ass instead of
what?
Amway brochures.
Oh, you're fucking
God
kidding.
Damn
Are
it.
Are you kidding? Please tell me you're
God
kidding.
God damn. I wish I was kidding. I still fantasize about that. The thing that never happened. Amway. They wanted me to fucking sell Amway for them because I was likable. Oh, my God. Talk about... That's the worst bait and switch I ever had.
I don't even know.
It's the worst bait and switch.
I'm
Emma.
Speechless.
What
do you know what Amway is? By the way, do you people know what Amway is? It's a pyramid
scheme. It's like Herbalife.
Right. Yeah, Mary Kay was the original, right?
But wasn't that terrible?
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
That was like that fish that has the worm on the head, but it's not a worm. It's just a thing that gets you so they can eat they you.
It also feels like a really inefficient way to get people into your pyramid scheme.
I know.
Right?
Like but if she had slept with you, will you sell Amway? I would have.
You
would have
done it.
I'd be an Amway salesman.
What if she just slept with you and then brought out the Amway?
I still would have done it.
Right.
I would have felt obligated.
Right.
I would have pulled the pipe out of my ass and sold some Amway.
That gives a new meaning to
Thank
pop.
Thank you, sir.
A new meaning to
May
Popeye.
I have another box of detergent
and of a can of spinach.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I'll never forget that.
Man.
She was so beautiful, too.
And
crazy
she was just,
beautiful.
She was playing footsies with you?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing.
I had a woman.
Now, here's the terrible thought because I've gone over it many times. Had I said yes, what if then she had said, okay, now I can sleep with you? And he had said, I'll film it. You know, I'll never
Again,
know.
Again, nobody had cameras in the 50s, Mark.
That would
Everybody
be a really bad
had...
sales pitch. Like, they don't offer the sex until after you've accepted. That's backwards.
But it might be a
right.
good...
Thank you.
But
it's
it might
a terrible
be a
business
great
model.
Comedy sketch.
It's a terrible business model.
Yeah. Sounds like a sketch on It's Always Sunny.
I had a girl drive up from Miami that I met at a job I had selling leather and jewelry. Don't ask. In Florida.
Did you
bedazzle
your own chaps?
The girl came in. She was
you
really,
were a chap bedazzler.
She drove up from Miami and she spent the weekend with me. And at the end, she tried to get me. She slept with me though. She slept with me repeatedly. And at the end, she asked me if I would sell her, get involved in a pyramid scheme. I laughed at her.
That's mean.
I should have bought something.
You should have bought something or said yeah.
No, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it. But I should have bought something.
Yeah, you should.
I could have bought a product, or you know, she drove up from Miami.
You could have bought some.
You're right, and you're making chaps. Me feel now. I feel bad.
Could have bought a nice.
Because you got the ass end of that deal.
Push up, leather. Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell
bra?
Us, because last time Mark was here, I tried to get him to tell the story, but as Mark does, he went off on a tangent on another story altogether, which was good.
I didn't want to.
But he didn't tell us the story of Sam Kinison and him meeting. So I would really like for Mark.
I told the story a lot.
Yeah, but you didn't tell it last time I asked you to
tell
it.
All right,
I'll tell you. Didn't.
Okay.
Pregnant sister.
I was a doorman at the Comedy Store, which, by the way, it's one of the few jobs where you
San
can actually
Diego
joke
Comedy
around
Store.
With people in La Jolla.
La Jolla.
And I can remember, and by the way, this is inappropriate, but I'm going to tell the true story anyways. Man comes in. It's the first night I met him. He was an albino. He was an albino man in a wheelchair. He was an albino man in a wheelchair, and he was also a little person. He's an albino man in a wheelchair. He had really big glasses, and he was just little. He was a little person. He comes up to the door. He says, I've got three people joining me. They're parking the car. He said, I would like to sit in the front row. He gave me money. He gave me, I think, $20 or $40 to sit in the front row. And I was like, absolutely.
Which in 1981
In 1980 dollars,
like,
that's $2 million.
That's like...
So I move a chair out and I put him in the front row. He's a very nice man. Go back to the door. More people come in. Finally, a woman comes up. She goes, hi, we're joining somebody. Okay. And he's in a wheelchair. I go, uh-huh. She goes, yeah, he's a little person. I go, right? She goes, he's an albino. I go, look, lady, I get a lot of people in here. Could you be more specific? And she looked at me for a second, and I said, I'm kidding. I know where he is.
Her reaction.
She did not. You know, anyway.
She didn't find that amusing?
She did later when she realized what I had done.
Right.
Like halfway down the aisle,
in the moment
she started giggling and then kind of whacked me.
That's sort of a metaphor for your whole career, isn't it?
Yes.
That is a really
nobody gets a joke till it's much too late.
Too bad.
Oh, God. I'm a doorman at the store. Wild Willie Parsons is the biggest guy there.
Is Eddie calling in? Oh. Eddie!
Oh, no. We're going to get yelled at.
Hey, are you guys on the air?
We are, Eddie. We miss you, man.
It's you and Mark?
Yeah, Mark's telling a story about being the doorman at the Comedy Store in La Jolla in the early 80s.
Thank you.
He's captivating your audience.
Nice. Well, I just wanted to... Oh, I'm hearing myself speak. Like, I talk, and then I hear my whole... Does anyone know what that is?
No, but that happened to me when I was on the road, and I called in, too. Same thing.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be my medication.
Finally! Someone says something funny!
You shut up.
On this podcast.
This is the last time I sit in for you, Molly.
No, you know...
Eddie... Yeah.
Are you having to carry it?
Eddie.
Mark, are you having to carry it?
No, Steve, he read some ads or something. I don't know. He's
you know
here.
What? This is how you know Mark's serious. He put on the headphones when you called.
I can't hear him if not.
Mark.
The
headphones. Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
You can hear him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Much ado about
Eddie,
nothing.
Eddie, what Trevor Noah is to Jon Stewart, what Jay Leno was to Johnny Carson, I am to you.
Okay, that's what I was checking about. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, the wheels came off.
You remember what happened to Lou Gehrig, right? Like, oh, no, not Lou Gehrig, Wally Pipp. Lou Gehrig got cancer. You know what Lou Gehrig contracted? He contracted Lou Gehrig.
Oh, did you know that they renamed it Cal Ripken disease now because of the record?
Oh, fuck, man. They all can't work, but
because
you got to keep swinging.
Well, once Cal Ripken got the record, they renamed Lou Gehrig's disease Cal Ripken's disease. So it's kind of
Mark keeps swinging even when he misses.
Emma's in hysterics.
Did Cal Ripken get sick?
But he did break Lou Gehrig's record.
The confusion of Confucius.
I see what you're saying. I just got the joke. That's good. That's good.
Steve still hasn't gotten many of them.
How's Kalamazoo? Yeah.
And I'm in a car with Jason. Are you on the show tomorrow?
I am, yeah. I'm Steve tomorrow.
With you're emceeing. Jason is emceeing, and he's driving me from Grand Rapids to Kalamazoo. And the reason I want to call in is just to inspire younger comics out there that you could have this type of lifestyle.
Jason, you just got a big credit for your resume. You are on the Pep Talks podcast. We reach approximately 5,000 people a week.
You can lie about that number. No one's going to check you.
That's right. No one's going to check us. You got to pump that number up, Steve. You said that in a meeting recently, and I cringe. You got to lie a lot in this business, right, Mark?
Yeah, what? You say 50 grand, 50 okay, to 60 what? Grand. Do you think Steve Levive's going to go fucking Google that?
Okay, wait, 50 to 60, you think that's safe, Eddie?
50, 60 grand.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we got to get that number up.
And when he,
good news, we got it up.
And if he has minions that are going to, like, look for him, then we say, oh, we didn't know. You know, you do that kind of thing. Oh, we didn't know. And if worst comes to worst, we hire Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran's kid.
We can also say, listen, those people that work for you, they don't ever make mistakes. They're not incompetent. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's right. That is 50,000.
I'm glad we're working this out on the air, guys.
How long you guys been on? About a half hour?
Well, no, we're almost
done. Seems like forever.
Like an hour. You're calling right at the end.
Oh.
Mark read an ad.
Oh, okay, because you... Did you? I'm sorry about that, Mark.
Oh, my God. So I killed with that ad.
What? You killed?
Well, I think I did.
Yeah, he killed that poor engineer.
Oh, good. Good. All right, well, I just wanted to get my stamp on the podcast a little. Did you take any calls or you didn't have them?
No, we didn't have it. No, I don't get your calls, bro. We got to do the calls next week when you're back.
Oh, well, I thought Matt might have. Okay.
No.
Well, we have some good calls.
Besides, Eddie,
next week.
Emma made a good point. They're calling saying, hey, Eddie, I don't want to respond to the people who are calling and asking, calling specifically to you. That would be too depressing for me.
I think most people know you're not here, so there's no calls.
Fuck you, Mark.
you're mentioned in a bunch of the calls, too.
Yeah. Well, more the merrier for next time.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. I'm glad you had it. I hope it went well. I'm going to monitor the numbers very closely.
Eddie, can you leave us with a bit of wisdom from Kalamazoo?
Well, Eddie, how's the acid reflux?
Oh man, last night it was very bad because I had pasta with like heavy duty tomato sauce. And when I get acid reflux like that, I don't feel like anything is positive. Like I feel like climate change will come quicker than we expected. I feel, you know, the climate breakdown. I feel like
the weight of the world is heavier. The weight of the world is heavier, what? Eddie. The weight of the world is heavier when acid reflux is kicking in.
Well, with acid reflux, it just feels like things are closer to dissolution. You know, decay is more prominent. I hope you guys really hit the political landscape because it's just a nightmare. Brazil, you are so good on Facebook. You waste your talents on Facebook. You know that?
Oh, no,
well,
Eddie.
No, Zuckerberg
Eddie,
sends me a check every
came
now and then.
On and read his Facebook posts.
Yeah, because who knows them the Pep Talk show? Nobody knows them. I have a very...
My
group is private.
Bro, nobody's criticizing you. I am honoring your...
On Facebook, listen, I have 2,800 people. It's a very select, small group.
Okay. What time are we at, Emma?
By the way, I like 50,000. Mark's tone on this podcast. It's very professional yet terse, and I think we could all learn from that.
I told Steve. He said, "I don't know James Adomian." Yeah. I was like, "That's no excuse. We're all in the brotherhood of showbiz. You just call a guy." I called Eddie Murphy this morning for a ride, and you know what? He showed up.
I emailed Steve Carell, and he sent me a Pepsi. That's he sent me a picture of a can of Pepsi.
You think with the money that he made from The Office, he's going to return your call?
He will sell Pepsi.
That's...
I just want to say this, that George Clooney and Danny DeVito are such big sellouts for doing those Nespresso ads, and Danny DeVito is doing some other stupid ad. I don't know if you saw it, but he's just a little...
Danny DeVito is letting you down. That's what the truth is, because we love him.
Andy Garcia is a friend. I can't weigh in on this.
Andy Garcia. How did you leave Andy Garcia?
Andy Garcia
is
a friend. I can't weigh in on this, Eddie. I got to recuse myself. I'm sorry.
You know, that's the problem with being in the show business, is that you can't really nail these other people unless, because they're your friends, but unless you're on the fringes like I am, you can go after everybody. And then when I meet them, I just say, I love your work, and I keep moving.
That's a very good...
Just keep moving.
Yeah.
We'll keep walking on that red carpet.
Keep moving.
Well, that's
all right. You brought up red carpet, so I will have to say that I was on the red carpet for the Muppets movie with Jason Segel. I had a part in it, and I was cut out, but I took my wife anyway.
I thought his name was Peter.
And that's a showbiz story.
Did you? Now, come on. Now I don't know. Did you get cut out of that movie?
Yes, he really did.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, but they kept my voice in, so I still get residuals, which are very paltry. Very paltry. And I was in a dance number. I was supposed to be one of the cameos, you know, because I had a little buzz about me then. And I didn't get... It got cut out because the director, James Bobbin, who directed me on Flight of the Camp Concords, said, the timing didn't work out. And the choreographer was Mickey Rooney's son. Mickey Rooney's son was the choreographer.
It's all stays in the family.
Now, Mickey Rooney...
I could go on, you know, I like talking show business when I'm in a car driving from Grand Rapids to Kalamazoo, you know?
How long is that
Eddie,
drive,
are you
by the
just
way?
Trying to impress that other comic?
It's 40 minutes, and Jason has a great Prius. Very quiet, very quiet. When we were at a light, I didn't even know the damn thing was on. And I said to Jason, is this car on? And he said, it sure as hell is. And the conversation went like that for a while.
Hey, listen, you didn't drop the Honda Element in there to kind of make him feel bad, I hope.
No, I don't want to do that. That's something I only mention in Hollywood, you know.
You know what? That's good, Eddie. You don't want to rub that in.
Yeah.
Listen, who's...
All right, guys.
Okay.
All right, man.
Yeah, what else? You got something, Mark?
I was just wondering who's watching the dogs, Batista and Esmeralda. You've said the names...
My doggies?
Yeah, you've said them so many times, I forget. By the way, Jackie Pickles had a terrible accident in the box, and I was humiliated.
Eddie, what Mark's telling you is you should be glad that your dogs don't have emotional problems like
no,
his.
No, I'm glad you have a significant person to watch your dog, unlike me. And it went badly.
Yeah, well,
and it was an hour
change.
And a half.
You're going through a life change, and you'll be fine, you know. You'll be fine. I have so much faith in how you are, you know, going to come out of everything.
Oh, I
this has turned
so
into such a disgusting warm.
No, but listen, Eddie, I left her for an hour and a half. That's just pure spite. That's not an accident. It's spite.
Yeah, that's true.
Premeditating.
She might be mad if it changes scenery or something.
Right, I took her out like three times, and we stayed out a very long time. And I threw the ball, which I think is quid pro quo.
I think it was a premeditated act. It was a premeditated attack.
I think throw the ball. Yeah. All right, guys. I should get off the phone now. But all right, congrats on hosting, Steve.
Thanks,
and,
Eddie.
I'll talk to you guys. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Eddie. See you next week.
All right, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Eddie Pepitone. He's a very, very funny comedian.
That's dedication.
And I guess that's it. Emma, what are we? Are we over an hour now? Okay. So I am just going to say peptalkspodcast.com has launched. It's like a website with more info about this podcast. So if you like this, you might like that. If we talk about reading a book, a link that to a book will be on the site. When we go on tour, that information will be on the website, peptalkspodcast.com. I think you know how this works. I mean, the internet has basically been around since NASA, but it took about 300 pounds of silly putty, President, for us to consider making a website. Anyway, subscribe, like, vote on all our places. Podcasts can be viewed, listened to, and consumed. Lastly, if you're Kalamazoo or Detroit, Eddie is all in those places this week. Send him some recommendations for good vegan food. Come see him on stage. You owe it to our country. Very lastly, Sunny is a sweet bulldog who needs some help and is just shy of her $2,000 donation goal. Do something good for once, people. The donation link is on the website and in the description. Again, that's peptalkspodcast.com. Our engineers are Emma Erdbrink and Aaron Brunghart. And our producer's Matt Rossimoto. Leave a message for us, 424-262-0904. Email us at fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. Visit us again at peptonepodcast.com. I'm Stephen Lally. This is the great and brilliant Mark Brazil.
No.
And our engineer, Emma. And thank you guys for watching my first hosting job. See you next week.
You were great.
Thanks, baby.